So Jonah chapter 1, just verses 1 and 2. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Because it's so short, I'll read it again. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. May God add his blessing to our reflection today. So, beginning today, a series of reflections on Jonah. And today, under the title, What's in a Name? Now, here's our text. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh. Preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But we're going to begin just for a moment, just looking at this name, the name of the prophet, name of Jonah, and the significance of his name. Now, I mentioned earlier about the meaning of names. Names are sometimes given to reflect the character of someone, and a classic case is Barnabas that we know of. His real name was Joseph, but he was given the name Barnabas because Barnabas seemed to better represent who he was and his character and his actions. People felt encouraged around this Joseph, so they nicknamed him Barnabas. Another example is Peter. His real name was Simon, but Jesus gave him the name Peter. Now, Simon may not have felt much like a rock, but Jesus' word to him, giving him the name Peter, was to say, Simon, you may not feel like you're a rock, but you will grow into this. As you follow me, you will grow into this, and you may reflect yourself in later life, I have become a rock. And certainly for others, they will look at you and reflect. Peter is something of a rock, a stable place, perhaps at the center. And that's how names can work. Now, Jonah, I'd be very surprised if you knew the meaning of the name Jonah, because I didn't before I started studying and researching this. But what we have is Jonah, who is a prophet of peace. Jonah is a prophet of peace. You see, the name Jonah means dove. The name Jonah means dove. And I suggest that Jonah may be the prophet of peace, because dove is sometimes associated with this sense of peace, the gentle settling of the dove is a symbol of peace for us. But not simply that. It may be that Jonah is called as a prophet and he has this name which he is to grow into and live into, because he will offer to the Ninevites a new beginning. It may not just be about peace, it may be about a new beginning. Do you remember in the early chapters of Genesis, the story of Noah and the flood? And Noah on the ark sends out a raven, returns. And then do you remember the second bird he sends out is a dove? And it is the dove who ultimately returns with a part of a tree, an olive branch, and then sends it out and it doesn't come back. And there is in the dove, in the story of Noah, that sense of a new beginning. It may be. What's in a name? What's in the name of Jonah? It may be about peace. It may be about this sense of a new beginning. Jonah, as you prophesy, as you bring God's word, you will, in who you are and what you say, it may be that you bring the opportunity, the possibility of a new beginning. And we'll be familiar, of course, with the sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit when Jesus is baptized. He goes down into the water, is baptized by John, and as he comes up out of the water, the heavens are opened, and his Father speaks, "You are my Son, whom I love. I am well pleased with you." And as these words are spoken, so the Holy Spirit, in the form of a dove, comes and rests upon Jesus. And that must have been an extraordinary scene, both to hear the voice and to see the dove settle. And so it may be that Jonah, we are introduced to this man as the prophet of peace. It may be that we're introduced to Jonah as the prophet of the new beginning, the new possibility. It may be that we're introduced to Jonah as the prophet who brings the presence of the Holy Spirit. And something about prophets. Prophets, as we encounter them, certainly in the Old Testament, it's not just about the words that they speak. Prophets communicate the word of God by what they say, but also by who they are. Prophets communicate the word of God by who they are, the life that they live. It's not just the words. And so when God calls Jonah, Jonah knows that when he goes to Nineveh, this is not just about saying words. He knows he has to be himself. And for Jonah to be himself is to be the prophet of peace, is to be the prophet of the new beginning. He is to live it for the people of Nineveh. And that is all wrapped up in his name, Jonah, the prophet of peace. But we're not finished quite yet. Let's go back to our text. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and now we are told he is son of Amittai. Now, if you're anything like me, normally you read these things and you just pass over them and you think, okay, so what? But we're being told this for a reason. Because Jonah is the prophet of truth, son of Amittai. Amittai means true or truth. And so we're introduced to Jonah. He is the prophet of peace, the prophet who embodies a new beginning, who as he prophesies, as he lives, he is the living presence of bringing the possibility of the gift of the Holy Spirit and the life of God to people. But we're also being informed that here is a man who is a prophet of truth. Now, I mentioned just a moment ago that a prophet is not just about the words that he speaks, but the life that he lives. And so for Jonah, what does this mean, that he is the son of truth? It means that his whole life is infused with truth. And I would suggest that for Jonah, he knows at a deep level, profoundly within his inner being, he knows what true is. And sometimes we will all have experienced that reality. When perhaps we've had to face a situation that we would rather not face. Maybe we've been struggling over a particular issue, or having trouble in a relationship or something. Maybe we're the problem rather than the other person. We've been blaming them. And there comes a point sometimes where we know what the truth is, deep in our being. And I think that's who Jonah was. He is the prophet of truth. He is the son of Amittai, the son of truth. So his whole being is infused with truth. Now, this truth is not, you know, it would be foolish to limit it to just rational, logical propositional truth. He knows, as we shall discover, he knows who God is, and he knows the truth about God. He knows the truth about how God will speak and how God will act, and this is deep within the core of his being. Now, just imagine, as I'm sure we're going to find out in the ensuing weeks, if you know what the truth is and you don't want it. Jonah, as we're about to discover, ran. Why? Because he didn't like what God was telling him to do. But if the truth is infused in you, where can you go to escape that truth? That's a bit of a problem, isn't it? You know, the psalmist says, even if I go down to the depths, if I go to the place of the dead, I cannot escape you. And we need to understand that for Jonah, the one that he is, the prophet of peace, of opportunity, new beginning, the presence of the Spirit, the prophet of truth, this is infused in him. And I'm sure at times it drove him nuts. Times when he wanted to be off duty, times when he didn't want to be who he was, and yet this was instilled with him. And for Jonah, there is, we discern in, as we read the story, and will be in the next few weeks, hiding from the truth, a great challenge for him. And so that's what we have initially. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. The third thing I want to mention is that Jonah knew the heart of God. Now, I've just mentioned he is a prophet of truth. This is not simply propositional truth. This is true, that is true, the other is true, or the other is not true, or whatever. He understands, he knows at a deep level the truth about God and who God is. Jonah is only mentioned on one other occasion in the Old Testament. He's mentioned more in the New, but he's only mentioned on one other occasion in the Old Testament, and that's in 2 Kings 14:25. And this is what it says. Jeroboam, it was Jeroboam II who, I put in bracket, he was the king of Israel, was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Lebo Hamath to the Sea of Arabah, in accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken through his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath Hepher. This is the only other mention of Jonah. Now, what do we discern from this? Is that the book of Jonah, and God speaking to Jonah, and Jonah living and acting as a prophet, is not a one-off. He knew what it was to be a prophet. He'd done it before, and it may be that he will do it again. Jonah knew the heart of God. He was experienced as a prophet. Sometimes, I think this is true for us, and I think it's probably true for Jonah. Sometimes it is very much a sense of growing into our name or growing into who we are. And it's not instantaneous. It takes time and experience and reflection till we come to that point of understanding who we are and what we are to do with our lives, for example. And it may be for Jonah that over time he comes to know the heart of God through his experience as a prophet, listening to God, being in the presence of God. Now, if you have your Bible, just turn across. It's actually on the same page for me. Jonah chapter 4. And this is the subtext to the whole of the book. Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. And halfway through verse 2, Jonah says to God, I knew, you see, Jonah knew the truth about God.
I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity.
Jonah knew the heart of God. He's been there before. He's done it all.
The extraordinary thing is that Jonah 4, verse 2, says these beautiful words about God. Gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, relenting from sending calamity. Verse 3 of chapter 4. And this is Jonah wrestling with himself. This truth, this reality is within him, and he doesn't like it. What does Jonah say? Now, Lord, take away my life. It is better for me to die than to live. Here is a man at war with himself, because the reality of God is alive within him and he doesn't want it. And that is a very powerful thing. See, Jonah knew the heart of God. Jonah is a prophet of peace. We can discern that from his name. He's the prophet of truth. We understand because he's the son of truth, the son of Amittai. And then we discern that Jonah knew the heart of God. He was an experienced prophet. Now, lastly, let's go back to our verse. The word of the Lord, I've highlighted there. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh. Preach against it because its wickedness has come up against me. And so we have the word of the Lord in these opening two verses. And the word of the Lord is simple and straightforward. Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Now this is unique. This is quite extraordinary. All of the other prophets that we read of in the Old Testament, their primary purpose is to speak the word of God, however that comes, but to speak the word of God to Israel and to Judah. So all the prophets speak the word of God to Israel and Judah. That's their role, that's who they are, that's what God calls them to. And that's what Jonah's role had been. That's what we saw in 2 Kings 14. Jonah speaks to the king of Israel. And this is unique. Jonah is called to bring the word of God to a foreign nation, to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, and the Assyrian Empire, they are the enemy of Israel and Judah. And I remember somebody describing this, understanding what Jonah is being called to do at this point. Jonah is like a prophet being commanded in 1938 to go to Berlin and proclaim peace to Hitler. That's what Jonah is doing. He's going to the heart of the enemy and he is proclaiming peace. He's proclaiming, he's challenging them to turn their lives around, because God, Jonah, he's the prophet of peace. He's the prophet of new opportunities. He's the prophet who brings the news of a loving and compassionate and slow to anger God who relents from sending calamity. And this is the word of the Lord. Go to Nineveh. Now, there was nobody Jonah could turn to and say, how'd you do this? No other prophet has done this. He's unique in this. And he's being sent into enemy territory to speak the word of God. But I'll put the word but down here. Okay. So, Jonah, chapter 3 and verse 2. I've actually got the verse number wrong. I put Jonah 3:3, but it's actually 3:2. And this is after Jonah has run away and he's been brought back and so on. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, go to the great city of Nineveh, proclaim to it the message I give you. This is translated in numerous different ways, and I've got it here. Nineveh was an exceeding important city. It can be translated in terms of the size of the city. The emphasis, perhaps, is here in chapter 3. Oh, yes, chapter 3. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. It can be translated and understood as meaning it is large in size. That's the sense of the Hebrew behind here. But it can also be translated in terms of its importance, its status. It is great. And I looked at a number of different translations of the way they put this, and it was either this sense of size or status and importance. And Jonah knows what he is going to. So I've translated it as Nineveh was an exceeding important city. But here's the thing about research and study and reading between the lines and going back to Hebrew, the original language, and seeing what it says in the Hebrew. And this may be a surprise to you. It's certainly a surprise to me. This is what the literal Hebrew is. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding important city. See those two words? To God. That's what the Hebrew says. Now, I checked. I thought, well, hang on. It's there. It's in the Hebrew. And if you look at commentaries, it's, you know, scholars all see it. And I thought, well, hang on, it's not there in the NIV. And I looked in all English translations, and it's not there. The only translation I could find where the to God is present is in a Bible translation used by the Messianic Jews. That's the only version I could find. I mean, I probably looked at 20 or more different translations. But this is the literal Hebrew. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding important city to God. Now, you know, when I'm studying and researching, there are moments like this where I just have to stop. Sometimes I have to leave my desk and go to Sarah and say, Sarah, have you ever seen this? You know, because it really surprised me. What we realize is that as God calls God calls Jonah and says to Jonah, go to Nineveh, what we realize is that Nineveh matters to God. Nineveh matters to God. And we all recognize, I think, that it's all too easy to demonize our enemy. And to demonize our enemy in such a way where ultimately we want to say, our enemy, they don't matter to God at all. That's why we have wars. That's why we drop bombs. Why? Because they don't matter. That's really what we're communicating. They don't matter. And yet, as I note here, there is something about Nineveh that inspires God to send a prophet of peace and a prophet of opportunity who speaks the truth about the loving God. There is something about Nineveh. And as I was reflecting on this, I was reminded of Abraham. Abraham challenging God over the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you remember this account? And Abraham says to God, you cannot destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham says, if there are 50 righteous people, will you save it? Yes, I'll save it. If there are 30, you know, is this negotiation goes on. If there are 30, if there's 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, will you withhold and destroy? And God says, sure. because God knows there are no righteous people. And I was, as I was reflecting on this and that, Jonah 3:3, that Nineveh was an exceeding important city to God. It made me reflect, and I don't know this, there's absolutely no basis really in the text for me thinking this, but I wonder, maybe there are hidden believers in Nineveh. Maybe in Nineveh there are those whom God knows. And God says, it's either destruction or I send a prophet of love and peace and mercy to them. Now, as I say, you know, that is my conjecture, trying to join up the dots here. There is something about Nineveh that inspires God to do this. Maybe there are those in Nineveh whom God knows. And so, in these two verses, what have we seen? Well, prophet of peace, a prophet of truth, a prophet who knew the heart of God, and a message for people who mattered to God. We'll see how it works out in the coming weeks. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are a gracious and compassionate God. Thank you that you are slow to anger, you're abounding in love, and you do relent from sending calamity. Father, thank you for that. And we pray that as we reflect on what we've considered this morning, as we go away and read Jonah and reflect some more, we pray that your word would be food and wine to us. You would feed us and refresh us, and you would stir us and inspire our hearts. And may our hearts reflect more your heart, gracious Father. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.